kick off our theme for 2020. The theme is, We Will Go, I Will Go. The theme is based off of the Great Commission found in the Synoptic Gospels, that is, the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, and the Gospel of Luke. What we want to do today is focus our attention on our goal for 2020. Not only do we just want to focus our attention there for today, we also want to try to get you as enthusiastic as possible in trying to carry out this particular theme for this year. We're going to be focusing our attention today on Mark's Gospel, Mark 16, 15 and 16. The text reads as follows, And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. We're going to be having three lessons on this particular text. The first lesson this morning is the charge. The second lesson during our Bible class is the communication. And the third lesson at our 1 or 1:30 or whatever time it is, afternoon session, will be the conditions. This morning we're going to focus solely upon the charge. The charge is very simple. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world. This morning as we look at the charge, we're going to be centered upon four points. Let's begin with first, with the authority of a charge. In the Bible, there are two Greek words that are translated charge. One of those Greek words is paragela. And that particular word means a command or a mandate. My friends, what we are talking about this morning is a paragela. We are talking about a charge that is a mandate, a charge that is a command. It is not optional. This particular charge from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not something that you and I can sit back and say, well, I might do it or I might not do it. Or we don't have the right to say, well, I don't like doing it, so I'm not going to do it. But if you like doing it, you just go ahead and do it. Oh, no. This is a charge that is a mandate. It is a command given unto us. And folks, this charge is something that must be done. Now, as far as I know, as long as I've been a member of the body of Christ, we have understood this particular charge as a church. In fact, if I were to ask most individuals, what is our mandate? What is our primary function as the body of Christ? They would say something like this. To take the gospel to the world. To be evangelistic. To save as many souls as we possibly can. Yes, as the church universal. As a congregation, we get that. But folks, as individual Christians, many of us have failed to take heed to the charge. There are many, many Christians in the body of Christ who have never, ever sat down and studied with someone in an attempt to convert them. Paul understood the mandate, didn't he? In fact, he understood it well and stands out as one of the primary examples in all of Scripture of what it means to go into all the world. Paul writes in Romans 1, 14 and 15, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Listen to what he writes in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Listen to this next statement. For woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. Folks, is that the way you feel when it comes to the Great Commission? We've been told to go. Do you honestly feel, woe unto me if I don't carry out that mission? 31 years ago, a book came out on January 1st, 1988, entitled, Go Ye Means Go Me by Ivan Stewart. Many of you may have that book. Many of you may have read that book. On page 2, I want you to listen to what Brother Stewart writes. Many Christians admit the truth of the message of Jesus in that go ye means go me, as much today as when Jesus spoke those words from the Ascension, from the Mount of Ascension, overlooking the Kidron Valley, a short distance away from the walled city of Jerusalem. But, watch what he says, but then they do little about it. Watch this next statement. Will Christians be surprised to learn at the judgment that the Lord really meant what He said when He commanded all of His followers to go? My friends, at that point in our lives, it will be too late, will it not? To stand before God in judgment and then realize, oh, the words go ye in Mark 16:15 literally mean go me. And yet we fail to understand it in this life. But that is exactly what has transpired in the lives of many Christians. You see, you and I need to be actively engaged in evangelism. We need to be seeking out those souls. We need to be going into all the world in obedience to the charge. Notice secondly, the author of the charge. Did you know that anyone can give a charge, can't they? Anyone from a world leader all the way down to a little bitty child can give a charge. I've seen some little children give charges to parents, haven't you? Mom, go get me a drink. Well, you little joker, you go get me a drink. But you see, anybody can give a charge. But note this next point. The authority of a charge rests in the position and the power of the individual who gives the charge. The Bible text says this, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world. Who is the he? And folks, our charge comes from none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. The one who is issuing this charge to us this morning is not Victor Eskew. Folks, I'm just the messenger. I'm just the herald of the message. The one who issued the charge is none other than the Son of the living God. And maybe we need to be reminded of who this individual is. He is God, is he not? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1, verse 1. This charge is not from a man. This charge is not from an angel. This charge is from deity. This charge is from God Almighty Himself, Jesus, the Son of God. This charge comes from the one who stood while walking upon the face of this earth and referred to himself as I am. Before Abraham was, I am. John 8, verse 58. Folks, he is the self-existent one. He is the one who has existed from all eternity. He is a being who was never created. He is eternal in nature. Notice point 3. He is the creator of all things. Paul writes in Colossians 1, beginning at verse 16, by him were, watch this, all things created. That includes you and me. He is our creator. We are his creatures. And in that relationship, you and I owe total loyalty to anything he demands of us. Notice too, He is our Redeemer. Jeremiah 15, verse 34. He is the one who has bought us out of sin and out of iniquity. He referred to Himself as the resurrection and the life in John 11, verse 25. In Matthew's account of the Great Commission, it begins with these words: "All power hath been given unto me in heaven and in earth." Folks, Jesus has all authority. The only individual who is not subject to the authority of Jesus Christ is the Father Himself. Other than God the Father, Jesus has total authority over all things. Paul says that His name is above all names. Philippians 2, verses 9 and 10. He is the head of the church. Colossians 1, verse 16. Paul refers to Him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15. He is the chief shepherd, 1 Peter 5, 4. He is our high priest, Hebrews 3, verse 1. And He is the judge of all, according to 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. My friends, it is this individual who has issued forth the charge to go. You tell me of a higher power, a more powerful individual that could issue a charge than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is He who you and I need to hear. As Jesus stood on the Mount of Transfiguration, God Almighty appeared and spoke from heaven and said this: "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." Matthew 17, verse 5. Now remember, God's the only one who's exempt from the authority of Jesus. And now here He is speaking to all humanity. And what does He say? "This is My Son, and I want you to hear Him." The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, that in these last days God has spoken unto us by His Son. He tells us in Hebrews 1 that Jesus has more authority and more power than the angels themselves. And then He enters into chapter 2 and He says this: "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." We're under a new covenant, a better covenant. We are listening not to the words of Moses. We are listening to the very words of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we ought to give the more earnest heed to those words. A couple of weeks ago in Hebrews chapter 12, the biblical text made this statement in chapter 12, 25: "See then that ye refuse not Him that speaketh from heaven." Oh, Jesus Christ issues forth His message from heaven itself, not from the top of Mount Sinai as was the old law, but from heaven itself. And we need to give heed to the voice that speaks from heaven. James writes, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." You and I have been given the responsibility of listening, hearing the charge of Jesus Christ to go into all the world. He is the author of the charge. Point number three: the articles of the charge. We're going to look at 3 points in these articles. Number one, we are to go. Go ye. I find it interesting that go is an action verb, is it not? When you look up the definition of go, it means this: to move or proceed, to leave or depart. Folks, when Jesus said, "Go," He is telling us, "I need you to move. I need you to get up and proceed forth somewhere." You see, There is to be no sitting in the pews. There is to be no hibernating in our homes. And there's to be no hiding behind our excuses as to why we cannot take the gospel to the world. Our Lord and Savior said what? Our Lord and Savior said, go into all the world. The world has seven continents. And on those seven continents, there are almost 200 countries. And the commission is what? Go into all the world. Every continent, every country needs to hear the word of the living God. And we can do it in a multitude of ways. We can walk. We can ride a bike. You could ride a horse if you want to. You can go in a horse and trailer if you feel more comfortable in that. I prefer my car. You can go in an airplane. You can go by boat. Folks, we can go by radio. We can go by TV. We can go by internet. Larry, pray for our ministry through the internet, because it is one way we can get the gospel to the entirety of the world. And you would be amazed at how many countries come to our website for information. We can do it orally. We can write it down. However it needs to be communicated, we need to go into all the world. Notice secondly, we are told what we are to preach. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. In our next lesson, in Bible class, we're going to focus our attention on that very thing, the gospel. That's the thing to be communicated to every man, woman, and child throughout the entirety of the world, folks. Now, Paul tells us that the message needs to be communicated in love in Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love. But now here's something we need to understand. We cannot preach, we cannot teach what we do not know. It's impossible. Everybody knows what that is, I hope. That's a brain. Even the preacher knows what that is. Can you believe that? Now, folks, that's about all I know other than where the brain resides. And that's in the head of man. Beyond that, I know very little about the brain. Well, guess what? You do not want me teaching students about brain surgery. You do not. You see, I cannot teach something I do not know. Now, there are many Christians who walk around acting as if they know the Bible, and yet they have given little thought, little attention to the reading and studying of the Word of God at all. Most of their knowledge comes from sitting in Bible classes and sitting in worship services. It is not through daily study. It is not by taking college-level classes and learning information from the Word of God. My friends, study involves reading, studying, memorizing, and applying the Scriptures to our lives. We cannot teach what we do not know. It's an impossibility. And it's one of the reasons that we don't go out and talk to other individuals. We're scared. We're fearful. They're going to say something. They're going to ask me something that, guess what? I do not know. And so, rather than being embarrassed, we just don't go. The psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 27, makes an interesting statement. Make me to understand thy precepts. That's the first part of the verse. Do you hear that? Make me to understand thy precepts. Second part of the verse. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. You see, you first have to understand, then you can teach. You first have to have a knowledge of things, then you have the capability of talking. We cannot teach what we do not know. You and I have to know the gospel in order to go out and teach it. But notice also the scope of that teaching. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. 7.6 billion people. That's a lot of folk, isn't it? If you don't think so, just go home this afternoon and count to a billion. Not 7.6, just go home and count to a billion. And you might not show up tonight because you'll still be counting. That's a lot of people, folks. Now watch this. Every one of those individuals who are on this planet have a what? Have a soul, don't they? It doesn't matter what color. It doesn't matter how rich they are, how poor they are. It doesn't matter whether they're male or female. It doesn't matter at all. They all have a soul. Now think about this. If we miss just one, it just might have been that one we missed is the very one who would have obeyed the gospel had he or she heard it. Isn't that something? I'll just not talk to one person, and it could have been that one person was the one who would have responded. Preach the gospel to who? Every creature. That leads to point number 4. The answer to the charge. You see, once a charge has been given, then it has to be answered. And folks, there are only two answers that can be given to the charge. Either we refuse the charge, or we accept the charge and comply with it in obedience thereunto. Those are the only two alternatives. I find it interesting that the apostles accepted the charge, didn't they? You see, there in the book of Mark, as you put it in the context, Jesus is about to ascend to the right hand of the Father. He's giving His final commission to these apostles whom He has hand-chosen. And He tells those individuals, go into all the world and preach the gospel. My friends, they accepted the charge, and we see it started in Acts chapter 2, don't we? Notice that. 6 times in Acts chapter 2, the speaking of the words and the hearing of the apostles' words are mentioned in the text. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 2 verse 4. Acts 2:41 says this, and they that gladly received His word were baptized. You see, from start to finish, they were speaking forth the words of the Great Commission. And here's what's interesting too. Even when these men were threatened by the authorities, they continued to speak and teach. And when they brought them in and set them before the council, the high priest said unto them, did we not straitly command you not to teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with this doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Here was the highest court in the Jewish nation commanded them not to teach. The high priest even says it with his own mouth. We commanded you not to teach anymore in his name. And they could have cared less. Because you see, the one who had authored the charge to preach was of higher, greater authority and position than even the high priest of the Jews. We ought to obey God rather than man. Folks, we at Oceanside, we've got a decision to make, don't we? Are we going to neglect the charge? Are we going to set a theme before us today? We will go, I will go, and then just leave this building today and, that's just, we always have a theme, who cares? Or are we going to obey the charge? Some might ask the question, is this charge really for us? That charge was spoken 2,000 years ago by Jesus to the apostles. How do I know that it applies to me today? Does it apply? Absolutely. Listen to what Paul told Timothy. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Paul was an apostle. He taught Timothy. He says, Timothy, I need you to take the things I've taught you and I want you to teach faithful men so that those faithful men can teach others and those individuals can teach others and those individuals can teach others. And that process has continued unto this very day. And now, my friends, we are the ones who have been taught to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Our theme. We will go. But if nobody else in this church does it, we need to resolve as an individual Christian, I will go. Regardless. Folks, I don't think that we can stress the seriousness of the charge enough, do you? You see, evangelism is the lifeblood of a congregation. Congregations who do it and do it well grow. Congregations who refuse to do it die. What is Oceanside going to do? Are we going to grow? Or are we going to choose to die? I was thinking about the lesson. I came to this thought. What will it take for us to go? And I'm not talking now as a congregation. I'm talking about each one of us as individuals. What will it take for us to go? Number one, a deep, deep love for the Almighty God. Number two, a heart of compassion for those who are lost. Number three, a life that is filled with faith in the Almighty God. Number four, a mindset that is wrought with courage. Oh yes, we know what's out there, don't we? There's evil, there's sin, there's opposition, there's Satan himself. That we're going out into the world to battle with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we go out there, we, just like those apostles, are going to have to stand with courage. We ought to obey God rather than men. And lastly, it's going to take a will that will endure to the end. My friends, we're going to have far more rejections than we are conversions. Did you know that? Many are called, But few are chosen. And you and I are going to have to be willing to go through all the negative unto the very end. Again, will we, will you, will Victor accept the charge? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We hope so. My friend, if you're here today and you've never obeyed the gospel, you need to do that. The steps are simple. You've got to hear the truth. You then believe it. That belief causes you to repent of sin, die to that old way of living, confess the precious name of Jesus, and then be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. Do you need to do that? Maybe you're an erring child of God. Folks, it's a new year. The one good thing about being able to wake up every day is this. I can put all the bad behind me and I can start brand new every day, can I? Maybe somebody's here as a Christian who needs to do that. You've not been faithful. You've not been steadfast. You've not been dedicated. Do you need to repent of that? Rededicate yourself to carrying out the Great Commission. If you need to respond to this invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?